This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Go to GoDaddy.com for all of your domain and web hosting needs. Save 10% off by going to GoDaddy.com and entering the promo code BLU13. That's BLU13.
Oh, honey, I know. Just wait. Just listen, okay? Yes, I'm okay. I was in an accident. Honey, you're not going to believe what I saw.
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this show is hacked together about as well as Frankenstein's brother. We did prepare.
We prepared. We actually took an extra day to prepare to make sure we were completely prepared.
There was a lot of content in this episode.
This is a really crazy episode. Yeah. I have a lot of quotes. I don't ever actually get quotes. Anyway.
Anywho, yeah, this podcast, if you weren't aware, if you found the podcast, you probably know. It's about the ABC show.
I almost said
the ABC show Greetings from Storybrooke. That's the spinoff.
That would be really cool. That would be awesome if it got a spinoff. It'll be
a summer replacement. Yeah, but we talk about the episode. We dish on theories.
There are frequent spoiler alerts.
Yes. So be aware of those and be prepared to skip. But this was our last episode before the...
I think it's 3 week break.
Yeah, 3/4 season break. Not even that.
I don't know. We've been back for what, 3 episodes?
Yeah. And now they're gone for 3 more episodes. I'm guessing it's...
I think there's an award show next week.
Is there?
Yeah. But, you know, we didn't move it for football. Why are we moving it for an award show? Oh, wait. They probably have to go.
Or it's on ABC.
Oh.
I don't know, though. I don't really follow award shows too much.
I have no idea. I'm horrible with that anymore. Okay. Anyway, shall we?
Well, actually, why don't we fill people in real quick on what we might be thinking about doing over the break?
Okay.
We definitely want to do another Friday night spoiler party.
Totally going to be a Friday night spoiler party. No guarantees it's done on a Friday night, though.
And I think I have my setup out here pretty good now that we might be able to even Skype in a guest. So if anyone's interested in joining our Friday night spoiler party, go ahead and send us an email at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com with Friday night spoiler party in the subject line. And he
hasn't been drinking even.
I know. I'm completely dead cold sober. I am not as sick as I was in last week's episode.
Exactly. If you can't tell from the fact that he's like coherent.
I apologize to everyone's ears for last week. I was in pretty bad shape.
Anyway.
But anyway, let's get into this week's episode. Why don't you give us the episode summary?
A stranger lies in bed dying. Dr. Whale fails, but he's always trying. Regina reunites with her mother in this week's episode, In the Name of the Brother.
I think that's what my best one in probably.
That was a really good
three
one.
3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Last week was just wretched. Let's just move on past that. Anyway.
Okay. So we said, a lot happened this episode.
So much.
First, we should probably talk about what happened with Belle with her losing her memory and the effect it had on Rumpel. Now, from what I saw, Rumpel became like he very much hopped on the chance to become his old wicked self.
He was never completely trying not to be.
I know, and I think we mentioned last week that I kind of saw, you know, the split in the woods where Regina was trying to redeem herself, and he was not. We really saw that this week. He was threatening to kill people.
He was about to throw a ball of magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a flaming ball in his hands. And again, the whacking with the cane.
He took up with Cora.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that was interesting. That. Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a few. But as soon as Belle was out of the picture, he was back to his old ways. It kind of reminded me of the scene
when he promised Bay that he would give up magic
and
forever.
And then not so much.
And then as soon as he realized what that would mean, he let Bay slip to our world versus giving up his Dark magic. One powers.
Exactly. Yeah, he's an addict.
Yes.
He isn't. Yes. He can't give it up.
He likes power.
He likes – who doesn't like power in some way, shape, or form, though? But, you know, not throwing balls of magic or hitting people with canes. So.
Yeah, and I do have to say Rip Chip.
Oh, Chip.
Chip got busted.
Chippy.
Yeah.
Chippy.
Belle chucked him pretty good, too.
Dude, she really – she didn't chuck him. She, like, launched him hard.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Gold's shop of relics from the old land isn't doing so well between Hook breaking in last
no,
week.
No, it wasn't Hook breaking Smee. It was Smee.
Yeah, Smee breaking in last week and busting the shop up, and then Belle breaking Chip. The cup that kind of symbolized their love. I'm crying now. Sorry.
Sop it up, dude. Sop it up.
Okay, I'll suck it up. Why don't you talk about what you want to talk about?
Okay, so... Stranger comes to Storybrooke. We all knew this was going to bring some changes. He also appears to have brought social media with him.
Yes, Greg Mandel. I looked for him on Twitter.
Looked for Greg Mandel on Twitter?
Yeah, I was trying on my iPad while we were watching the episode, but it wasn't going so hot. Let me look here real quick again, but go ahead and talk about it.
To see if that
second.
Name means anything?
Or to see if they created an account for
him
or something.
I'm sure the Onesers have created an account for him. No?
Well, there is an at Greg Mandel, but it looks like some British dude, which obviously this guy's from Pennsylvania. Let's try G Mandel.
He wasn't necessarily from Pennsylvania. His rental car was from Pennsylvania. I'd just like to point that out.
Mm,
this
is true.
It was a rental. But yeah, he totally brought social media with his.
We finally got a Star Wars
reference.
There
had to be a Star Wars reference.
Yeah, now that they own it and
everything. Thank you, ABC. Thank you, Disney.
But the way they inserted it, I wouldn't be at all surprised if that wasn't supposed to be his ringtone, but they figured, oh, what the heck? We have the intellectual property.
Well, yeah, what else are they? I mean, what are they going to do? The default iPhone ring? Mm.
Do you think that makes it more likely that we'll see Star Wars characters show up or less likely?
I actually think
likely?
It's less likely.
Do you?
I think it's a little less likely. They seem to know Star Wars, though.
But they know Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, I know.
They
That's
know
really weird.
Frankenstein.
Yeah. I don't know. I just can't see like a robot or a Wookiee walking around.
I think it would be cool.
It's completely cool.
But I honestly don't think it'll happen because I'm sure Disney has their own Star
agenda.
Wars TV plans. I mean, I've heard some rumors.
You've heard rumors?
Yeah, I've heard
a whole different type of podcast, but we'll discuss it at a later time. But yeah, like when they're looking through his phone, first of all, I love that Emma's just like, like pulling all of her old tricks out of the bag.
Oh yeah, well she has one of those key fobs that they give to all the cops where they can just, even if your phone's locked with a password, they can just pop it in and they get your photos, your
Who
contacts,
gave it to
your text
her, though?
Messages. Graham left it for her, or maybe it was just part of the sheriff's arsenal.
That's, again, it's one of those many things where Howard's been up and outsiders here. Or did she bring it with her? Because, I mean, I totally could see her having something like that in her private business.
Yeah, yeah, her previous life. Definitely.
We kind of block her previous life out, but it definitely came
Even her
today.
previous life as a thief, that would come in handy probably.
True story. So, but I just thought it was neat that she's like, oh, he tweets about this. And I'm like... You really just brought Twitter into it. I don't know how to feel about that. You know, it's just, again, it's the outside world in Twitter. I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, I always wondered how Henry found her with the whole not being able to leave. Like, was he on the internet? What else was he doing? Come look it up in the library.
Yeah.
Again, library closed.
Do they have the internet?
I don't know.
Storybrooke?
Do you really see computers?
Trying to think.
See, this is why it's confusing. That's why I thought it was such a big thing that social media is now in Storybrooke.
Yeah, well,
but none of them
first...
were fazed by it.
Yeah, so they all knew.
Yeah, they were like, well, it's Twitter. It. Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting, like, are they all just going to start tweeting? Because there's already people on those accounts on Twitter.
Nice.
There's lots of people on this. Any variation of those accounts.
Oh yeah,
our Onesers are on it.
We follow a lot of them on Twitter. Just a bunch of like themed character accounts, and there's There's ones where it's all Regina tweeting to Emma.
You all know this, though. Nothings. It's you, isn't it? It's you. That's right. You over there on your couch. I know it's you. Anyway.
Okay, so in this episode, we got the rest of Frankenstein's story filled in, at least as far as we know.
I think there's more.
Because it was implied that he had met with Rumpel before he did the whole Trick Regina thing with involving Jefferson. And then this episode, we see that meeting, and then we see what happened after that episode where he tries to save his brother, and we see, you know, what happened to his brother, too.
Right.
Now, what I'm wondering is, the last scene in that whole sequence is Frankenstein coming in to kill his brother because he's just regretting turning him into a monster so much.
Right.
And he pulls out the gun, and he just can't do it. Not necessarily because he really wants to save his brother,
right,
but he wants to prove his daddy wrong. And so I'm wondering if Gerhard is still knocking around in Frankenstein's land, or if he's somewhere in Storybrooke. Because they left it pretty open-ended.
They did leave it pretty open-ended. I'm going to guess that he's still in Frankenstein land.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dr. Frankenstein he wasn't in Frankenstein land when the curse hit, from the way it seems.
Wasn't he?
I don't think he was.
Is there something I'm forgetting?
Probably not. I'm assuming at this point. It just seemed like nobody else is really pulled from that far of a world.
Yeah.
And he had crossed over multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
He was on a trip back. He was visiting. He came for the crab legs at the wedding reception. I don't know.
But there's definitely something more to his pre-Storybrooke life that we don't know.
I know. He was so sad and timid, actually.
Yeah.
I felt a little bad.
Yeah. You know, every time he's featured, though, I just love that actor. I remember him from Heroes. He played Adam on Heroes. And I just love seeing him in genre shows. It's good. It's good stuff.
Yes, definitely good stuff. So, Frankenstein's dad was a jerk.
Oh, yeah.
He was a complete total jerk, sort of going on that same stem. But it seemed very familiar with the whole dad favoring one son, and then the son who's actually really trying to kind of win his love is being, like, shoved aside. Prodigal son kind of coming home.
Well, that's
guy being in the army.
Mm, that's a big theme in the original story, too, although...
See, I don't know. I'm really bad at this.
In the original story, his brother was the first one to be killed by the monster. He didn't become the monster himself.
Well, right, that's what you said.
I'm pretty sure he didn't get turned into any form of a monster in the story. It's been, you know, a while since I read it, and I remember reading the summary back during the first Frankenstein episode, because everyone was like, oh my god, who's his brother? Is it Grumpy or something? And I was like, well, I should look in and see if there was an actual brother in the story.
Right.
Because it's been a while. And yeah, it was basically the same dynamic. The father favored the brother. And then the brother was the one who died, which further alienated Dr. Frankenstein. Right,
which we definitely saw. I just thought it was, again, you know, I haven't read, I don't know the Frankenstein tale that well. Mm-hmm. I know I fail. If little kids, it's too hard to read.
Well, with how many stories they pull into this series.
How can you even keep it all straight?
Yeah.
If I sat down to read and or watch all of them, I would never have time to do anything.
This is true.
I would never have any time. Especially
watch Once Upon a Time.
Exactly. And I have to watch Once Upon a Time. But I just wanted to pull up, you know, that it seemed like a very, like, prodigal child coming home. And
This may sound a little sick, but it was very satisfying when Gerhard killed the dad.
I liked that he was defending his brother.
Yeah, exactly.
That I liked. I don't like that he killed him, but I like that he defended his brother.
You could tell.
Because he always defended his brother.
It wasn't a reaction to the fire. It wasn't just a dumb monster thing. It was he saw his brother was being threatened, and he cared about his brother more.
Right.
And broke through all the monster
stuff.
Which
you can see him caring more about, even before he turned into a monster, he definitely cared more about his brother.
And
he tried to give him the watch.
I don't know the actor's name who played Frankenstein's brother, but it's not really important.
Okay. Sorry.
But he did a really good job as the monster. It was it just like he was like very slinky and crawly and hunched, and it was really fun.
Good job. I liked it. Good times.
Okay, so in this episode, as we said, you know, Rumpel and Cora have an encounter, and they strike a truce.
Truce.
And as part of the truce, Cora gives Rumpel this weird globe thingy with a needle on it.
Which looks really familiar. Have we seen that before?
I don't know.
We saw it in season one in a flashback.
It seemed almost like we should know what it is.
We definitely should have known. I mean, it was pretty obvious as soon as you actually saw it. Mm. But
yeah, it felt very. If anyone familiar. Out there knows, if it,
I
had
know
a
you know the time
appearance.
Code on the episode. Pull it out for me.
Yeah, send it along to us. Greetings from storybrooke@gmail.com. He eventually Rumpel drops a drop of blood on the globe, and you know a world map shows up, and it shows a spot where Bay is. Now, we were trying to figure out where that spot was.
That spot is a very large spot.
Yeah, at first I thought like right above the blood spot, there was a little white streak, and I was sitting a little far back from the TV, so I think I didn't really see the blood spot so much, and I thought that white streak was it, and it looked like it was, you know, somewhere between like Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
Yeah,
but the blood spot it's fairly large, and it kind of hits Maryland and DC and Philly.
Right, but I read somewhere, must have been a tweet because I didn't save it, mentioning that it was New York. It looked like nothing like New York to me.
Yeah, and we even paused the episode.
We pulled up a map and tried to compare. We were measuring like the curves in and out, the little inlets. Mm-hmm. Like we were getting hardcore on that one.
Yeah, and New York would make sense.
New York would make sense, but it just wasn't New York. It didn't. I mean, there was no New York in that blob.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I don't know.
I still think it's like Baltimore. It really looked Baltimore-y to me. Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, we'll see in 3 weeks where they end up heading on their journey.
So long.
The Search for Bay.
Oh, The Search for Bay.
Starring Rumpel, Emma, and Henry.
Oops, spoiler.
Spoiler, that's this episode.
He didn't say he was going in this episode.
Oh, sorry. That is a spoiler.
People should really just not listen if they don't want spoilers because we're horrible at that. We try.
Well, if you're a fan of the show, you probably keep up on the news. That was all over the place.
Most people do.
And if I spoiled it for you, I apologize.
Send us hate mail. We like mail.
You know what? If I spoil it for you, let me know. And
you can be our Skype guest.
You could be our Skype guest, or I could draw you a poorly drawn picture really fast of anything you want.
He does this. I'm sorry.
I do. That's my consolation prize.
It's a shtick. Okay. So with the whole Cora and Rumpel and their truce discussion, Rumpel, you know, trying to find out, do you have any spells to help bring back memory? You know, still pulling the old stalker move on Belle. And Cora saying, I only know what you taught me. Dude, there's no way.
Yeah, well, she had a lot of time to...
By herself to grow and manipulate the magic in a magical land where he wasn't.
Refine her abilities.
Yes.
There's probably all sorts of... all different kinds of magic in Wonderland than there is in fairy
tale. And you know she's absorbed magic. She's been in at least three or four different lands that each contain a slightly different version of magic, mm-hmm. so it appears... She's sucked all that in. She probably knows exactly how to get the memory back. It's probably very simple, like in a rubber temple or something, and go poof. But
plus she definitely learned manipulation and subterfuge from Rumpel too. Mm-hmm. So it would not surprise me if she was lying about that.
Yeah, definitely lying about that. And then the whole. Let's seal it how...
Oh, with a kiss.
How we used to, or how... And then they kissed. It was very awkward. It's like you walked in and your grandparents kissing.
Not even
parents,
that.
Parents, grandparents, people who were very uncomfortable and barely know each other.
It was like you walked in on your grandma kissing your...
Uncle?
Or her son-in-law or something, you know?
Yeah! it was just really awkward.
And Rumpel wasn't
but was
really...
was she into it?
I think she was into it. I don't think Rumple was into it.
Rumple was just seconds earlier asking, how do I get Belle's memory back?
Yeah.
Which, going back, do we have this anywhere? No. The whole Gold being a stalker, basically, and being kind of obsessy with Belle. Was he hoping for that to be true love's kiss to, like, bring back her memory?
I would assume so, because
it looked very,
he was trying different tactics, because he did the kiss, and she freaked it. She woke up and freaked out.
Who wouldn't freak out if they wake up like that? Her. Hello, random dude.
And then he tried with the cup, with enchanting it, with the memories, and she wouldn't even try. You know, in a sense, I felt kind of bad for Rumple, because he was finally finding happiness. He was learning how to be a good him. You know, he spared Hook last week with Belle's coaxing, obviously.
Right.
I mean, he's still fighting his demons, obviously, but if he had any path to redemption, it was Belle, and now Belle is gone.
That's totally gone. So anyway,
More about Cora. Surprise,
we had
surprise.
A very heavy section here. Sorry.
No, it was a very interesting scene.
Yes.
Now, Cora, when she comes in, I forget the exact line, but she says something like the crocodile snaps at the little bird.
Yes.
So obviously she's the little bird. Now, I was trying to think, what could little bird mean? The only thing I could think was the phrase, you know, a little bird told me.
Right.
And that got me thinking that maybe the way Cora and Rumple met, maybe she was the girl from the original Rumpelstiltskin story.
It's very possible.
And it's been a while since I've read or seen a version of the original Rumpelstiltskin story, but the one image that always sticks out to me is at the end, after the girl says his name so he can't take the firstborn baby. Mm-hmm. He jumps up and down and says, the devil told you. The devil told you, which told you.
Right.
So if you add the numbers 32 and 64, then you get... No, I was trying to do some weird numerology joke, but it just kind of fell flat in my head.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like doing the math.
Why are you doing math right now?
I know. This is a podcast. This is no time for math.
Then there went another listener, because you're doing math. Anyway.
Continue. No, but I think we're definitely, since we're getting young Cora this season in the form of Rose McGowan.
Yay.
I think we might actually finally get to see Rumpelstiltskin's actual story. Which is pretty cool.
Oh, the actual Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, the actual Rumpelstiltskin.
Because we've seen like his other 16 stories he has.
And, you know, the end game of Rumpelstiltskin in that story was to get the girl's firstborn baby, which would be
Regina.
And plus, that girl was a Miller's daughter. What's Regina's last name in Storybrooke?
Mills.
So I think that might have clued me in a little bit, although it's weird that a little bird took me there, because that's such a slight connection that it smells of conspiracy, but I think I might be onto something.
He always thinks he's onto something.
Hey.
But he frequently is. I was giving you credit. So we'll just, you know, switch gears back to Whale when he's sitting having his conversation with Red after she, you know, finds him to do the surgery. He says, every time I try to save a life, someone else dies. Who's going to die this time?
I don't know, but I guess it would be directly related to David Mandel's call to...
Oh, I guarantee it's related to that call. You're never going to guess what I saw.
They have a woman sheriff here.
And she was very leading in her questioning. Like, you could just be like, obviously, she thinks I saw something. I'm going to act like I didn't, even if I did. Like, it was very weird. But, you know, I'm kind of scared but curious to see who dies.
Mm-hmm.
Who's done?
And
are they really done?
I mean, if that was intended to foreshadow a death, I would guess it would have to be a pretty major death.
Oh, it's got to be a major death.
I'm talking main cast member.
We haven't heard anything about that. They've been holding that under.
Like someone from Snow's family, or...
I don't think it's anybody from Snow's family, just from things I've seen and heard from future episodes.
Mm.
They've all made an appearance.
Well, I mean, who knows when the things death are going to? Yeah, who knows when the death will happen?
It could be
the last 5 minutes of the season finale.
Yeah, but at that point,
that seems like if you were going to kill off a major character, well, it seems like that would be the time to do it,
right? Or next week, because this week had such bad ratings, to be talked about later.
Next week, they're killing the whole show, and the next week, and the next week.
Don't do that to me, please. ABC just pretty much killed another show, so let's not talk about it.
Well, Once Upon a Time's one of their big shows right now. So yeah,
it's not going anywhere. We were just kidding.
And if it does, we'll do what we did when they canceled Lois and Clark on 2 weeks' notice. We'll write an entire third season in fan fiction form, which is what we did for Lois and Clark.
That's on you. They pretty much canceled one of my other shows, though, so I'm a little sad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just got into it. And then, anyway.
Axe.
They axed it. Well, they didn't technically axe it. They're just not airing the last 8 episodes.
That's a shame.
Do you know what I'm talking about, anybody? Don't trust the bee. Anyway, continue.
Okay, so Emma, her superpower has always been she knows when people are lying.
Right.
I think that her superpower is on the fritz, or the writers have forgotten that, because this episode with David Mandel in the hospital bed, obviously she didn't know he was lying, and she's been very inconsistent with that this season. Like,
yeah,
the first appearance of the hook, she was like, oh yeah, you're lying, but then he tells a lie later on and she doesn't even pick up on it.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if it's just lazy writing, which I doubt, because they're usually pretty good about that kind of stuff.
Nothing ever seems to be lazy writing with them.
Especially when the fans have globbed on to that so much.
Right.
And I mean, it's Jane Espenson who wrote this week's episode. And she's a solid writer through and through. Like, I've even listened to interviews with her and stuff. She's brilliant. So I don't think
it was lazy writing. We're waiting to see what it is.
It makes me wonder if it's a plot point. Maybe it has something to do with her new powers that she has. Maybe those cancel out the quote-unquote superpower of being able to tell who lies, you know, the lie detector thing.
Right.
But I guess we'll see. But it just – anytime it happens, it really sticks out.
It really does stick, because she used to be so good. She would call you out on anything.
Yeah, that was like a plot device that showed up, if not in every episode, every other episode.
Exactly. And now it's like, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think it has to do with the whole like chess magic thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so Regina – is she really trusting Cora? I kind of think she is.
But
I'm not sure.
There's 3 ways it could go. One, she's buying what Cora's selling, and she's all about taking over the town.
Well,
and
she has Mr. Mommy.
Yeah.
She cried over her mommy's quote-unquote dead body.
Mm-hmm. But the thing that leads me away from that is how resistant she was to it when Cora first showed up in the crypt.
True.
But so either she's full, I don't even know what I was trying to say there. She's all about, you know, taking over the town with Cora.
Right.
She's tricking Cora for some reason, or because she's been on a path to redemption all season, she thinks that she – well, actually, this might be a combination of the two and the three – since she's been on a path of redemption the whole season, mm-hmm. she might think that she can bring Cora along with her mm-hmm. in that redemption, which actually, if I was to say any of them were the case, I would say it was that,
right.
That she is manipulating Cora to turn her good.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Because that's going to take some work.
Mm.
She's like the queen of not so good.
Yeah, and it'll also be interesting to see how that progresses, since Rumpel, the only person who could really stand up to Cora, well, not the only person who could, but the only person who could do it effectively without just finding a way to turn tail and run before they get too messed up.
Right.
Since he'll be gone, what kind of...
Yeah, the town's going to be interesting and
plus,
all them gone.
You know, a Cora and Hook team up is threatening. A Cora and Regina... team up is menacing.
Devastating.
Yeah.
It's devastating.
So
I mean, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we should probably talk a little bit about potential consequences of David Mandel's phone call at the end of the episode.
You mean Greg Mandel?
Greg Mandel. Yeah, David Mandel, he was a writer on Clerks the Animated Series.
Wow.
I don't know why I just thought of that and associated
Let's
that.
Let's move on.
Which was also on ABC, that's why.
Right, right, that was it.
No, but,
again, he's not drinking. I am.
No, but the implications of that. So I wonder how soon we're going to see anything from that.
We're seeing something next episode.
Do you think it'll be next episode? Yeah. What do you think that'll be? Do you think his wife will show up to see what he's talking, or girlfriend, or whoever
her is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or do you think, you know?
I think he ain't going anywhere. He's just gonna stick around.
You think? Just to see what the deal is,
and see what he can see, and kind of to see how they act,
mm-hmm.
to try and like catch it, because none of them are gonna know what to do.
Yeah,
like no one's gonna know what to do because they're not. There's not been somebody who didn't know.
Well, I guess you know when you're telling someone you've seen someone practicing magic, you'd probably want to stick around and gather evidence before you. I don't know. Went to
go
the
to
news.
The media.
Yeah,
yeah. Put it on social media, perhaps.
Tweet it.
Tweet it.
I found Grumpy. Hashtag Grumpy. No, but this kind of the end of the episode kind of fed into my ideas for the season finale.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've been saying that they're in, you know, we saw more evidence of it this episode, just in attitudes, if nothing else.
Oh, definitely. And straight up saying, I want to leave.
Yeah, but there's going to be, I think the season finale, there's going to be a showdown between a group of people in Storybrooke who want to stay in Storybrooke and a group of people who want to go back home. And there's going to be splits between families and everything else.
Lots of fights. Definitely lots of fights.
And I think that's going to come to a head.
In the middle of town, because that's where everything happens.
Exactly. And just as it does, the media trucks pull up.
Boom.
And that's where we end the season.
And that's where Ryan Seacrest comes in.
Ryan Seacrest.
Why not? Ryan Seacrest covers everything.
Yeah, I guess.
I hear, he was even covering football. What? That doesn't make sense.
I guess if there was enough evidence of magic for news trucks to show up, Ryan Seacrest would definitely be there.
He would be the reporter. It would be like him and Perez.
Yeah, I was going to say it would be TMZ, Ryan Seacrest, and then ABC, NBC, CBS, et cetera, et cetera.
MTV, totally going to get in on that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll like send the kids from Buck Wild or something, or Catfish.
Although it would be kind of cool if, you know, that the media and everything shows up next episode and we still have several episodes
to see how that plays out.
I'd
have a love hate relationship with that.
Well, why love hate?
Because it would be really cool to see and not have to wait.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of want to see what they do on their own first.
Mm.
Because they're really just getting into everybody's there. They're having a split. They think this dude doesn't know anything. I'd kind of like to see some sneakiness on his part before the world explodes.
Yeah. And I think also with the way this season's been paced, I think that would be...
Not that,
there were a couple parts the first half of the season that were a little slow paced, mainly in Fairy Tale Land. But I think the way it's paced, that would be too fast.
Next episode has somebody coming back from Fairy Tale Land.
Yes.
Well,
if you saw the trailer, you know who that is.
Right. Well, I'm just saying. So that also sort of leads me to believe they're staying for a little, or it's not going to explode next episode.
Uh-huh.
Just because that's a pretty big thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can I say who it was? I don't know if we're like at that point.
Let's go ahead and keep it to the news section.
Just in case. Okay,
well, I probably already spoiled something for somebody. I don't want to do it twice in one episode.
But that's what I'm saying is I think from the previews and what we've seen coming that it's not going to be news vans next episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just going to be more internal conflict.
Yeah.
So there we go. And okay, so the last thing before we get to ye olde news section – Gold cashing in his favors with Emma.
Finally.
First of all, we've been about an entire season's worth.
When did she start owing him that favor? The Cinderella episode?
The Cinderella episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, let her keep the baby and I'll owe you, before she really knew what that meant. Is the trip the favor, or is something that's going to happen on the trip the favor?
Well, I think he pretty explicitly said the trip was the favor, but I'm sure he... But besides the fact that she's the only other person who can leave Storybrooke, and she's the only person in Storybrooke who knows what the outside world is really like. I'm sure he has other ulterior motives bringing her along.
I'm sure.
Because I think he might be trying to kind of groom her like he did Cora and Regina.
Right.
To be his protege.
Right. So
he sees that power in her.
She has natural power. Because she's the product of pure love.
Yes.
So, but, you know, there's that.
Matters of the heart. Isn't that always the way? So, on a scale of 3 to 17 stitches in Gerhard, what did you think of this episode?
This episode. Carry the one. Divide it by 6. I'm going to go with approximately 100.73 stitches.
That's not even on the scale.
Didn't you say between 3 and 113?
No, I said between 3 and 17.
Oh, apparently my math was wrong there. More math. Then we're going to make it approximately 14.26.
14? That seems like... why?
I liked it. There was a lot that happened. There was a lot going on. Things progressed as we've been really happy that things are progressing the second half of the season. I liked getting a little bit more of Whale in Storybrooke and out of Storybrooke. I don't know. I liked it. It made me happy and warm inside.
See, the reason I so surprisingly asked why is because I would give it 17 stitches.
Oh. I'm always very fearful to give anything a perfect score.
I think it was potentially the best episode of this season.
I'll buy that.
It might be tied, or it might just slightly edge out the original Frankenstein episode. The Halloween episode is my favorite. Episode this season.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying I didn't like that.
A lot happened. A lot of new mysteries were opened up, and we found out a lot more about a lot of things, and we're on a very clear path to a lot of things breaking that were set up like in the first episode now.
Right. Well, like I said, I just don't like to give anything a perfect score. It's just a personal pet peeve.
You want them to be able to strive for
I
more.
Want them to be able to do better.
Because as we discussed last week, all the writers of the show listen to this podcast.
Of course, they know what we're doing.
So Anne-Marie wants you writers to know that...
Dear writers, you're doing good, but you know what? You can go just that little bit further.
Yeah, you can do just a little bit better.
Right, of course. So, there's that.
So when Frankenstein was in the cemetery digging up a body and his brother showed up not knowing what was going on, you know what would have really helped him out and probably would have saved his brother?
What?
If Frankenstein had had a blog.
A blog!
And he could have went in and posted on the blog and he could have said, I'm in the cemetery digging up a body. If that offends you, just meet me back at the castle. Love, Frankie.
Victor's
blog.
Victor's bloody blog.
But the thing is, in Frankenstein's land, I don't know if people caught this, but there's not a lot of good options for web hosting if you want to throw up a blog.
It really didn't look like there was. I think they were really slow.
Yeah.
It looked really slow.
Yeah, and I mean, they're all on dial up there anyway.
I was just going to say,
They communicate in binary by torches. But now that Frankenstein's in Storybrooke, if he wants to set up a blog where he posts poetry about how torn up and messed up he is over his brother and feeling like a monster, et cetera, he could use a service like GoDaddy, for example. GoDaddy.com. They provide web hosting, domain names, all sorts of stuff. Email. If Frankenstein wanted to set up an email, he could set up an email.
Victor at drfrankenstein.com.
Exactly.
That would be awesome.
Or no, Frankenstein at Victor's blog.
Oh, yes, Victor's blog.
Victor's blog.tv for Transylvania. And if he wanted to do that, Dr. Whale, just go to GoDaddy.com, sign up for your web hosting. And then when you get to the checkout, you can enter the promo code POD13 to save up to 10% off of your web hosting. And if you want to, if you already have a web hosting, but you want to pick up another domain name or something, that's fine too. You can get 10% off anything you order at GoDaddy.com by entering the promo code BLU13. That's BLU13. And we want to thank GoDaddy for sponsoring the podcast. And we want to thank you if you go out and help support the podcast by picking up one of the fabulous, fabulous GoDaddy products. We use it to host our greetingsfromstorybrooke.com website.
Yes, we do.
I use it personally for my own business website, my own creative ventures. It's been good for me for 5 years now. I'm a 5-year long customer, and I really enjoy it. So if you want to save some money with GoDaddy, go to GoDaddy.com and use the promo code BLU13, BLU13, or POD13 at checkout.
Now, and I believe we said if we had three, wouldn't we do like a Skype interview with somebody? We haven't heard anything about anybody using it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know what?
Good points.
We'll do another little contest. We never heard anything back on the other contest. I think we said two different domain names during that. I think I checked them both just to be sure, but no one signed up for them.
Yes.
But if you do participate in this contest, make sure to email us so we know.
Yes, please.
But if you want to set up victorsblog.tv.
Let's make sure that doesn't exist first.
I'm sure victorsblog.tv doesn't exist.
You go ahead. Keep talking.
Victorsblog.whatever. We'd prefer .tv. But if you want to set that up and point it to greetingsfromstorybrooke.com or set up a fictional...
Victor's blog is open.
Or set up a fictional blog for Victor Von Frankenstein.
Oh my God, do it.
We'll Skype you in. We'll talk to you on the show. It'll be a great time. Maybe we'll even send you a little something. Who knows? Mm. But anyway,
do it.
Again, thank you, GoDaddy. And now on to the news. News. Okay, first the ratings report. Let me get it pulled up here. Where
this
did
little
it go?
Sad ratings report.
Yeah, it was officially the worst ratings of the season, but I don't think it was the quality of the program.
It had nothing to do with the program. It had to do with football.
Yeah.
Usually I'm very pro football, except that it messed with Once Upon a Time.
And I'm very anti football, especially because it messed with Once Upon a Time. But here we got the ratings from The Examiner. ABC ran new episodes of America's Funniest Videos. Who cares about that?
I didn't know that was even still on.
It is.
That's crazy.
I thought it was called YouTube now.
No, those are for the like not suitable for television ones.
But Once Upon a Time, I got a 2.4 share. And these numbers for Once Upon a Time are the lowest they've been this season, which is definitely unfortunate. And it doesn't look like any of the other programming that night that wasn't football did very well either. Once Upon a Time still beat out The Simpsons. The Simpsons got a 1.8. It was reruns, though.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the article says.
Oh, okay. Well, they would know.
I trust the article.
Yes, I trust the internet. It knows everything.
But that's unfortunate. But you know, since they have this little break here, maybe they'll rerun it so it can get some more exposure. I think
they'll definitely rerun it.
And plus, you know, there's the DVR audience and stuff to which I think it gets counted like a quarter point or something.
Which is ridiculous because sometimes you save it until you're able to watch it. You wish you could have watched it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, nobody knows that you're watching something else instead of watching it. Then perhaps you're feeding your children or something.
And there's a lot of cord cutters out there too, and they get the episode off iTunes or whatever, and those don't even get counted.
iTunes doesn't count?
No.
Ridiculous.
No, I mean, some places index the iTunes charts, but
that's it.
Yeah, but that's it. Nielsen doesn't pay attention to them at all.
Oh, Nielsen, get with the times.
But hopefully, we can do better next time.
Okay. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Okay. So, Snow's mom. We have pictures.
Yes.
I know we'd heard about it, and everybody was some people were like, Rena, I don't think I like her. No, when you look at the pictures, it totally makes sense, I think. I think they work because it's hard to have imagined it with Little Snow, mm-hmm. who is awesome. Love Little Snow.
Although every appearance she has, she looks a little less like Jenny Goodwin.
Yeah, she really does. But she's growing up. They needed to have shot like all of her scenes in like a 2-month span, and that was just impossible to do.
Yeah, that's not how TV works.
But
there's some good pictures here. We get a couple little scenes with her and Little Snow. And is that supposed to be Snow's dad there?
Scrolling. Yeah, I think that's Snow's dad. Because who else would be taking care of her like that?
Mm-hmm. And double spoilers, she looks a little sick. Snow's mom does here.
Okay, well, if you read the article, it basically says, let me see. As for whether that means Cora, whom we have suspected had a hand in Ava's death. So basically, Snow's mom is going bye-bye.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see, because they're standing in front of green screens. So that could be entertaining.
Well, they do green screen for like really basic shots in the show.
Oh.
Yeah. Like I'm trying, for example, that one episode where Regina and her father were talking in the courtyard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was green screen. And I suspect that the scene from last night where Victor is showing his dad the revived Gerhard. I suspect
that
was a green screen, too.
I could see that.
But you can pass that off easier because it was black and white.
Right.
Oh, but we didn't get to this in the main episode discussion. I just wanted to say this real quick. Rumpel really bothered me.
In the King Color?
Yeah.
Yes, he looked really weird.
Yeah, even for
like,
Rumpel.
Like he fake-baked. Mm-hmm. He kind of looked fake-baked. I think it was the red.
And he looks different in every appearance, pretty much, especially when he's portraying a different character, a different kind of Rumpel.
Different version of Rumpel.
Yeah, but this one was just a little too bizarre for my taste. If he had been in black and white like everyone else, it probably would have looked fine.
But then it wouldn't have made sense.
Yeah, exactly.
He had to be in color.
Exactly, but yeah, that's a little tangent. But yeah, we have pictures.
We're really good at tangents.
We have pictures of Snow's mom.
Okay, and that article actually just got released. There was like no news.
Mm-hmm.
No news, and I think it's because it's a 3-week break. They're waiting, you know, they'll trickle it out. They trickled this, I'm sure, in like 3 days we'll get something else really small.
Yeah.
And then like 4 days before we'll get hit with like a casting thing like we did, over the winter break.
Mm-hmm.
So and we can my save only it all, article this week.
We can save it all up for our next Friday Night Spoiler Party.
Friday Night Spoiler Party!
Which, reminder, if you forgot from the beginning of the episode, we'd like to have a guest on, someone from the audience. Yeah, if you want in, if you can Skype, you know, we might even be able to just do a Google Hangout. That might be easier for everyone.
Hangout might be easier for people.
But we'll figure all of that out. But if you're interested, email us.
Tweet us, email us, Facebook us. You know the drill.
Et cetera, and we'll put you in the running. Speaking of emailing us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, a lot of you do some weeks. This week, not a lot of you did. One person did, but it's one of our favorite people, Wynn. Why don't you go ahead and read her letter?
All right. Loved last night's episode, and not just because I accidentally predicted Cora turning into Henry in my voicemail of last week. I liked seeing Snow's group.
Let me stop you. When that happened in the episode,
he looked at me and went, "She predicted it."
Wynn was right.
She got one right. Okay. I liked seeing Snow's group dealing with a new problem instead of rehashing old situations and grudges, but Rumpel seemed quite off his usual game. Did he subtly disappear with Belle's memory? Or his subtlety? Ha! Huh? Reading, not working for me. He acted like a crazy guy with a cup fetish. True story. Favorite part of the episode? Storybrooke Dr. Whale. He's boozy, he's snarky, he's jumpy. Like several dysfunctional dwarves rolled into one. The dialogue written for Whale is one of my favorite parts of the show. Plot-wise, the scene with Ruby was very good, too. I agree. Least favorite part of this show. Emma's eye makeup in Hook bedside scene. Did she go through his pockets and steal his guyliner? It was really overdone and distracting. Okay. I read this in between watching it the first and the second time, so I specifically paid attention to the eyeliner. Dude, what do you got? A magnifying glass on your TV? Because it didn't bother me.
She probably has a normal modern size TV where we have the smallest HD model.
We do have a really small TV, don't we?
Yeah, and plus we sit, you know, way across the room from it.
Pretty close. I mean, I wasn't like all up in their faces.
I will say I definitely agree on Dr. Whale.
Dr. Whale, fabulous.
And this is something else I forgot to bring up in the main episode discussion.
We're awesome.
We had our main points we wanted to talk about. But the scene with Ruby was very good. Is there a love connection there? Two monsters united?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. A lot of people think so. I don't think so.
Well, they're both single.
Most people are single in this.
And people are paired up pretty well right now. I mean...
Are you putting Hook with Emma?
No, I'm not putting Hook with Emma.
I like Hook with Emma.
I'm assuming Emma will eventually get together with Neil Cassidy.
Shh.
It's true love.
Who knows if it's really true love?
I would like to see. I'm not usually a shipper. I would like to see. I would like to see a Whale Ruby pair up. Two monsters rejected by society find love in each other's arms. It's poetic. It's magic.
That's as romantic as he gets, folks.
Yeah,
that's about it. Wynn also got us with another thing that we didn't notice. She had tweeted at GF Storybrooke while we were at Disney.
Yeah, so we missed it.
So we completely missed it until, I think, yesterday. All right. It says, funny once upon a time pickup lines. Of course, Rumple has the best ones. Okay. I saw this before watching this episode. And, of course, this episode had a few more. But we're going to go through and read the pickup lines. Mm-hmm. Would you like to begin or do you want to – and we'll just go back and forth. Do you want me to read them? Do you want to read some of them?
Why don't you go through and read a few of your favorites, and I'll find a few that I like.
Okay.
Because I actually hadn't opened this yet.
Oh, way to prep.
I want this one.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm sure that's the one she was talking about, Rumple having the best ones. Okay, I like one of Regina's. I promise I won't rip your heart out. Maybe.
And this is one for Rumple. Sex with me always comes at a price, dearie.
Must you read it in a voice?
Well, it's not effective otherwise. That would totally work at a bar, though.
Oh, I like this one with Emma. If it doesn't work out, just cross the town line and forget it all.
And this one's for Grumpy. I may be grumpy, but deep down, I'm still dreamy. Would you fancy a shag, dearie?
From Charming. I'll always find you once you give me your number.
this one from Ruby is funny, especially considering her line last night. I've got a big appetite. I just loved her line. I laughed at it through both watch-throughs. I ate my boyfriend.
Yeah, it was a little...
That's awesome. Dr. Hopper, let your conscience be your guide into my pants. But there's a lot of these.
There's a lot. There's like 18 of them. But some of the quotes I saw last night, again, I do kind of like the Hook and Swan thing. But when he was, you know, tied up and she's like, when he's asking for his hook and she's like, no, basically you're not getting it. And he's like, or is there another attachment you prefer? It was perfect. Come on, let's be honest.
Oh, Hook, that one's bold. Hook's a bold one.
He's a very bold one. Are you reading that one?
No, that might be a little pushing it too much. There are some of these that are a little more racy, but if you found them amusing, we'll have the link in the show notes up at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com attached to this episode.
Right, and so. There was one more from last night.
Okay.
From Hook, it was when she said that, you know, you're pretty much broken, and he's like, it's just my ribs. Everything else is still intact. I'm sorry. I liked it. Whatever.
But thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.
Sending the letter in and the link in. Sorry we missed it. And we missed your voicemail a couple weeks ago and then just got
to it last
week.
What is up
with that? We're delayed a week on a lot of her stuff. But when she writes in about an episode, we always get it. So. But there's a lot of ways to contact us if you want to write in. Let's see here. One.
Voicemail.
You can send a dove.
Ooh, a dove. Those are pretty. Can you tie it with a silk ribbon?
Two, you can do some detective work, find out our address, and just show up and we can talk some once. No, don't show up at our house.
Please don't show up at my house.
Or at least call first.
Call first. Leave us a voicemail that you're going to be showing up.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to leave a voicemail letting us know that you're going to show up at our house, which is really, really weird.
And rude.
The voicemail number is 424-274-2352, and we do check those, and we do get them in 99% of the time, as long as I get the email notification. And I've actually been pretty good about going in.
Spastic about it now that he missed one.
Yeah, going in and checking them before we record the episode. You can also, if you don't feel like talking, well, actually, if you do feel like talking, but you don't feel like leaving a voicemail and you have a nice mic or something, you can send us an MP3 or just a regular old text email at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at GFStorybrooke.
Or you can tweet us at our personal accounts. Mine's at AMDSimone.
And I'm at Bill Meeks.
We're also on Facebook and Google Plus. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and like we said, we're going to do another Friday night spoiler party, and we'd love to have you as a guest. Shoot us an email if you're interested, and bring your best bottle of booze.
Basically.
And what were you going to say?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I was distracted by the word booze.
I also wanted to point out, let me try and find this real quick.
Oh, goodness.
Once Podcast is going to be doing an interview with Dr. Hopper.
Are they?
Yeah, they got an exclusive interview, which I was very happy to hear about. Raphael Sparge, I think is how his name's pronounced, but they're going to be doing it live on January 24th, 2013.
What time?
Thursday. Yeah, Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh.
So I might be able to throw it on during work or something. But they're soliciting questions right now. What day is it? You have 2 days to get it in. You can send them questions for their interview with Dr. Hopper. With the subject line question for Archie to feedback@oncepodcast.com. And we'll go ahead and link their blog post about it in the show notes as well.
Cool. I don't know. I missed that.
Yeah. I just saw it come over on Twitter today, and I was like, oh, that's neat. I'm jealous.
Very jealous.
Let's see. Is there anything? Oh, and we were also thinking about on the break. So keep an eye out. This might happen.
You know how we are.
We were thinking about sitting down and watching some of the some key episodes to tie into what's going on in the show right now, and doing live commentaries where, you know, basically we'll start it by saying, okay, we're watching this on Netflix. Count of three, one, two, three, hit play. There's the production logo. And then you can follow along with us as we watch the episode and comment on it.
That'd be awesome.
Try and talk.
It'll sort of be like, what's that show? With the little, I don't know, my brother watched it.
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Guy. Yeah, kind of like that guy.
Exactly. We'll have some funny. Yeah, I think we were talking about maybe sitting down this weekend and just recording a couple of them, release one, do the Friday night spoiler party, then release another one. So we have episodes coming out over the break.
Right.
Which is good. If that sounds interesting to you, watch for it. And you know, encourage us over Twitter or something.
Yeah, if you push us, better chance we remember to do it.
Hey, this is Bill. Before we go, I was just editing the episode and I forgot that we forgot to read a 5-star review we got on iTunes. So I'm going to go ahead and read it for you right now. This is from Aslan for King First, and it was on January 13th. I saw it after we recorded the last episode, which is why it's not until this episode. The subject is The Hilarious Side of Once Upon a Time. They say, I found out about you guys from the Once Podcast, and so I gave you a chance. Thanks, Once Podcast. I have to say that you haven't let me down. Everything from your greeting to your synopsis of the episode to the way you guys play off each other makes me so happy, and you may even have passed Once Podcast on my favorites. Smiley face, heart, 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 heart. Thank you, and please keep up the awesome. Well, thank you. That's very high praise because, you know, Daniel and the folks over at Once do a great job on their podcast. But thank you very much for leaving the review on iTunes. If you want to leave us a review on iTunes, we'll go ahead and read it on a future show. Thanks. And now back to the episode. Okay, let's see. That's it.
It's
time to start the long drought part two for season two of Once Upon a Time.
So ridiculous, by the way.
Very sad. But I guess, you know, until next time. Greetings from Storybrooke.